Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings.
Teams, and welcome up.
You could try something a little different, you know?
Hey, everybody.
That sounds good. Hey,
everybody.
Enthusiasm. Put some zip in it.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome on board On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, your genial host.
Hey. Hey is for horses, right?
Okay. Well, at least you're not talking about accoutrements and all that other fancy stuff you
but
use.
But there is a word, hey, H-E-Y, does summon people. Why is it always wrong to say it?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
Hey, Joe, how was your weekend?
Hey, Mark, it was great. How about yours?
And your grandson is 10?
No, Logan is 11.
No, 11.
We celebrated his birthday yesterday.
Tick-tock time.
Great young man. On. He's growing up to be a fine young man, a credit to his mommy and daddy and his grandparents.
his papa.
Papa.
And what is your bride's name?
Bo. He calls her Bo.
Okay.
Everybody calls her Bo.
Okay, Bo.
Bo.
So he calls
Grammy
her Bo too?
Yeah, he always has.
I don't call her Bo. I must not be in the inner
well,
circle.
Well, you'd be allowed.
Really?
Yeah, right.
I'd be,
she answers to that.
I'd be nervous. All right, well, welcome on board to everybody. Hey, Bo
hey.
2 and 11-year-old Yogan, or Logan 11 as we
Yogan. What is that?
Didn't I say it right? Logan 11.
Yoga.
My daughter used to do that each year. She'd put a sign on her door that said Carly, you know, 2, Carly 3, Carly 4. Now she'd be like Carly 33 or something. But don't
you
know
don't know how old your daughter is?
Oh, I 33, I think is right.
33, okay.
Yeah, she's coming in a couple weeks, so I get to see the pesky bugler.
Pesky bugler?
Yeah, she lives in Oregon now, so.
What's a bugler?
A bugler? Joe, it's a term of affection for a child.
Oh, okay, never heard that.
Well, initially she's just a little bug, you know, and then...
Then she becomes a bugler.
Right. Sorry, moving on.
And as she gets to be 40, what would she be, bugless?
She'll always be bugless. Or bugler. And now you can mess me up. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Or you can participate in Text Connect. Join the thousands of people who have signed up for Text Connect. And what you do is go to WKOK.com where it says Connect With Us. You see Text Connect as an option there. You give us your cell phone or pager number, and then no more than a dozen times a month we would send you news of breaking national or local news, closed roads, weather warnings, anything you need to know. Basically,
dead celebrities.
Dead celebrity. We are a dead celebrity service.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can't get that anywhere else. So, yeah, we try to keep you informed about... news like that. Yeah, dead celebrities come in three, and we haven't had a set of three in a while. So we're enjoying a very nice respite from that kind of information. But we do send out Text Connect messages. I think we sent out a Text Connect last week about something. Let me look down here. 70236. Gonna find. Nope, I don't see it.
Nothing about the impeachment?
Last week there was one. No, we didn't. That's not really breaking news per se. And we certainly didn't see any news in the impeachment that would warrant a Text Connect. So...
Well, you know, the Democrats are now accusing the president of witness intimidation because he tweeted out during a witness's testimony.
I saw that. Well, don't you think that's inappropriate?
Oh, it's certainly inappropriate, but it's not witness intimidation. She wouldn't have even known about it if Adam Schiff hadn't read it.
Well,
so maybe he ought to be charged with witness intimidation because he was reading something against the woman that she didn't know about.
Well, and clearly the procedure that's underway in the House, it doesn't follow criminal procedure anyway. So can you intimidate a witness for somebody who's not involved in a criminal proceeding? It's just a witness, and it's called inappropriate witness.
I got a big kick out of a clip that they show this morning on CNN from Saturday Night Live. It was a fake news, or they were doing their news update, and it said President Trump accused her, said she started out in Somalia. You see how that went. Mm-hmm. And then the news reporter said, well, Donald Trump started in Atlantic City, and you see how that went. Remember, he went bankrupt in Atlantic City.
That's funny. Well, he stayed there a long time, even while they were bankrupt, so you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's everybody's making a lot of over the fact, too, over the weekend that he went for a beginning health check, I guess you would call it. But this morning on CNN, they're all looking very serious and saying the president went for completely off-the-books, unusual medical procedures at Walter Reed.
Well, Fox said over the weekend it was for blood tests that either weren't conducted last time or he was getting them done so that the results will be in when he has his full-blown physical later.
That would sound reasonable. Because he went, instead of helicoptering to the Walter Reed Hospital, he went with a motorcade, and CNN saying that cuts down the opportunities for cameras to see him and visibility.
Oh, okay.
Making it sound like he snuck into Walter Reed
yeah,
to get kind of serious
test. I've
seen
the motorcade in Washington. It doesn't sneak anywhere.
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, maybe the people on the left will be very happy if he would be sick, but I doubt that they would because they're all decent people. They want to get rid of him, but not that way.
Yeah, it may have been just one of the commentators, and it could have been just him speculating, but I believe he said he was either getting a blood test that he should have had done the last time when he was there, or it's being done in advance of his upcoming appointment so that when he talks to the doctor about whatever they have to discuss as a 70-plus-year-old man, that the blood test will already be in hand, and so they can discuss it, and they'll have it right there then.
Well, then they were talking, too, about the fact that he, of course, doesn't tell the truth all the time. So can we really believe...
That much we can stipulate.
Can we believe that he's just going in there for routine tests?
Well, if he were to... I don't think he said anything publicly about it, did he? Maybe he tweeted something.
He tweeted something about it.
Okay.
Said that it was phase one of his physical exam.
Oh, okay. Well, there's the speculation.
But in the past, there's been no phase one or phase two. There's just been a physical exam, apparently.
Well, he does seem to be in reasonably good health. Of course, the rigors of the president wear down people. He doesn't seem to be suffering much the way some other presidents have, but he's only been in, 2.5 years or almost 3 years?
Well, given all he's been through, I would think he could be gray and looking feeble.
But does he, would you say that, how would you say he's wearing the impact of the Mueller report and impeachment?
He seems like he hasn't changed at all to me. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. He seems to be doing the same things that he's done in the past that I considered self-defeating, and he's doing the same things in the past that he did in the past that I thought were pretty good. So,
yeah, maybe we shouldn't be shocked or surprised or appalled when he tweets what he tweets. It's just his nature.
Well, it's terribly inappropriate.
On.
I mean, so this woman testified in something he didn't like. You don't have to come out while she's testifying and make a mockery of her or, make light of what she's saying or whatever. But
well, she had a nice comeback saying that, unfortunately, she didn't have the power to create peace nor end it in these countries.
And she's right.
Right.
I thought it was interesting, too, that the governor of Louisiana, with John Bel Edwards, is it? Just won re-election. Oh, that's terrible.
Him and everybody else.
But, he was, in effect, making fun of the fact that the president came down there to support his opponent. And it turns out there may have been a backlash in the opposite direction, that a lot of black people who might not have voted came out to vote for him. And so when asked about it, he said about the president, bless his heart.
Well, yeah, you wonder, do we have any empirical evidence that the president helps candidates?
Well, I think you can make an argument that he does more than hurts them in these states where he goes, because the race wasn't that close to begin with. And then the president came there and the race tightened up. And the same thing happened in Kentucky. The governor there in Kentucky had a very low approval rating, 40%. After Trump spent several visits there, he just narrowly lost the election. So I think you can make a pretty good argument that President Trump helped. And as a reinforcement of that, the down ballot races were all won by Republicans.
Okay. Well, and Republicans, it wasn't widely reported, but it was reported somewhat. Republicans won all kinds of races in the last election that maybe they weren't necessarily expected to, or that do show a changing tide, even in western Pennsylvania.
But so did the Democrats. The Democrats picked up a lot of state houses.
Right, but my point is extensively coverage. We're familiar with that. You got to listen to either NPR or Fox if you want to find out about where Republicans won, I mean, with any great amount of coverage. So.
I think it's going to be an interesting election coming up, but it's all going to depend on where this impeachment thing goes between now and then. Supposedly this week on Wednesday...
What possible difference will it make?
Well, it could make a big deal of difference. Sunderland is supposed to testify Wednesday, and he is the one person. He was their ambassador to the Economic Union.
Right.
He is the one person that allegedly
European
Union, I'm sorry. Well, is it the European Economic Union or just the European Union? I'm not sure.
Well, EU is the wide name, but anyway.
Okay. You're right. This Economic Union, European Union. It's some union in Europe. Would we stipulate that? That the president apparently had direct conversations with him about the Ukraine and the investigation. So he's the first person who, it is alleged, had an absolute conversation. And he's the one that went in and said initially that he didn't remember any such conversation and then modified his testimony, went back in and modifies his testimony, saying that he did recall some conversations. And I think he said, but there was nothing, you know, odd about them or anything that was alarming to me about them.
And he wasn't ousted by the president the way...
No, I think he's still in, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he's still there.
If he was at the will of the president, you think he wouldn't testify. But maybe it's just people close to the administration.
Well, I don't see how he could not testify. I mean, I think everybody, if you're issued a subpoena, unless you're able to get it quashed, you have to show up, I would think. If you don't, you could be in contempt of Congress.
Well, have we gotten to anybody who's declined to testify yet? I mean, they're going to want people...
Yeah, the president's chief of staff has declined to testify.
Has the president been subpoenaed?
Well, no, but Nancy Pelosi offered him the opportunity to come before the tribunal and speak. Well, maybe I shouldn't call it a tribunal. Come before the hearings and speak.
His truth, right. I think she used the phrase his truth.
His what?
His truth.
His truth.
You know,
yeah,
that
I like
phrase that,
that
often comes up, you know, like, well, Joe, you know, you see the climate is not getting warmer, but that's your truth. You believe that.
Well, what would the president gain from doing something like that?
From testifying in front of the group?
I can't think of a single benefit to him.
Well, if he's believable, you know, he could... You know, I always have found, and I've seen a couple criminal trials, and I've been on a jury for one, and I, for one, have always appreciated when the defendant testifies and gives their version of what happened. You know, the old "I wasn't even in town" statement, I think, goes a long way. It doesn't often overcome what is... you know, what presented by the prosecution and the police. You know, I think one reason, one defendant told us that he didn't testify was because he didn't want to be perceived by the jury as a liar. You know, it's okay that he did a theft and had some drugs and was dealing near a school zone and all those things, and that was his life at the time. But he didn't want to testify because he didn't want the jury, he didn't want to deny all of that because he didn't want to be perceived by the jury as a liar.
Well, if he did it and he admitted to it, wouldn't
that
strengthen his...
Well, he wouldn't admit it at the time. He was convicted of it and later spoke about
it. Oh, so it was something they were charging him with. I thought you were talking about his prior criminal history.
No, he was on trial.
Okay.
And so he declined to testify.
Well, the president will eventually be on trial. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind that the Democrats are going to ram impeachment through the House of Representatives.
Right. Well, that's a stipulated. That's given.
So, all right. So then we go to the trial in the Senate. How is that going to play out? You know, it's going to be considered extremely partisan. There may be one or two Democrats who vote no, who are in tough states. I would suspect it'll be pretty much along party lines. Republicans say, even if he did something wrong here, it doesn't rise to the level of impeachability or to conviction of impeachment. And the Democrats are going to say, oh, the Republicans ignored all this wonderful evidence that this man is a terrible crook and should be thrown out of office.
Well, the Democrats...
So have we moved... Will we have moved any further ahead in this country?
Well, the Democrats that I've seen so far have said that they're not decided. And I wonder, I know, that's my reaction.
Yeah,
too.
Right.
I got that. I just wondered, out of all 200 of them, are there any that actually are undecided and are listening to the evidence, Democrats?
Well, I think it's hard to listen to the evidence when every time a Republican asks a question, the chairman of the committee cuts them off or interrupts them, and they won't allow the people to be called that the Republicans want to call. You know, I think I'm not trying to be fair about this, but it seems to me that there is enough evidence of problems with Burisma and with Biden's son to warrant looking at it. And I can see how the president would feel that it was his duty to investigate that because they're sending American tax dollars to that country. And if there's corruption there, it needs to be weeded out. And everybody generally conceded that the Ukraine was a pretty corrupt country. So if the president was playing on that corruption and hoping to get them to do something corrupt to help him, that's wrong. But on the other hand, if he was just trying to investigate the corruption that may have influenced the 2016 American election, I don't see that as being a bad thing. Well, I see that as being his duty, actually.
Let's take a break, and we'll get our audience involved in this. We would just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number to get on the radio. We'd love to talk to you. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Speaking of congressmen that are keeping an open mind, I had a very brief conversation with U.S. Congressman Fred Keller over the weekend. So I'll report on my observations.
Oh, is he speaking to you?
Well, he called me.
Okay.
He returned my call, I guess I should say.
What did he call you, just out of curiosity?
A very good name. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I wanted the world to know that the Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor of the On the Mark show. You can call us 1-800-795-9565, and that's the toll-free line. And the Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. Family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. Visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street. Go to the parts department. They got tons of parts for tons of Fords and other cars. And they got the Quick Lane. They got the truck shop to take care of great big trucks. They got the body shop, alignment shop. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They got a car wash. You name it. Everything you need to take fabulous care of an existing car, they can do. Or if you want a brand new one, they got tons of those on display, too. And some fabulous pre-owned vehicles that are in perfect condition. Please visit the Sunbury Motor Company. You can do as many, many, many people do. And that's start out at sunburymotors.com. And then go visit them in person. I guarantee you'll be buying a vehicle from them if you check out sunburymotors.com first at the Sunbury Motor Company. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Are there any Democratic lawmakers in Washington, D.C. keeping an open mind? Are there any Republicans keeping an open mind? I can tell you one of them says he does, so we can hear that. But what's your view on the impeachment? We got almost a dozen witnesses lined up this week. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, call us now. We're talking about the impeachment. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number.
Hey, Mark. I understand you had a conversation with Representative Keller over the weekend.
Yes, well, we're out bow hunting on Saturday.
Oh, you out hunting with the congressman, were you?
Bow hunting? No, he was not there. But he returned. I had asked for a call from him, a personal call, and he did return it. And he had heard some of the, or at least heard about the remarks that I said earlier in the week about that the president asked him and other Republicans to double down on the Democrats. And while he was aware of that, he said that in no way impacts his decision. He is doubling down on the Democrats because that's the right thing to do, just on factual topics. I think you talked about this a little bit, about the fairness of the impeachment and Nancy Pelosi's specific actions, but nothing personal. He doesn't have any disparaging remarks to say about her, just that the whole thing is a sham. He said the president does deserve a fair trial and that he's not getting that in this particular proceeding or in the previous proceedings. But more importantly, he said he has not changed. Remember, I said I was adamant that he's changed.
Remember you saying that. You were wrong, of course.
And he says no, that he is the same person he ever was. He doesn't want an apology, but he just definitely said that he is the same person he ever was. He's talking about the same things he always did. And I think I offered an observation that I thought he had changed his sort of...
Observation is a rather mild word for what you actually said.
Well, last week I said he has changed, but he says he has not. So if the person that you're talking to says he hasn't changed when he went to Washington, D.C., I mean, you sort of have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he says he hasn't. It's just a different topic, different issues.
Right, that's what I said. It's a different job.
Said he has always spoken out about the big issues that related to the 85th District when he was there, and now he's talking about the big issue that does relate to... But he's all over the district. I mean, he's visiting all the regional counties and everything. He had heard that I called him Fred Trump one time, and I did explain to him that that was purely an accident. That was not parody and nor intentional.
Oh, really?
There is
okay.
a Fred Trump. up in,
there is, and we discussed that on the air. He used to be the head of the Bloomsburg.
Right, that was an accident, so I said that. But he was very insistent and very observant of the fact that... these things were said, that he hasn't changed, and that the president in no way impacted his decision to, you know, make most of his tweets and a lot of his other remarks, news releases and so on, about the impeachment, that it isn't partisan, it's about fairness.
Well, here's what cracked me up. Did you hear over the weekend about the Democrats and their focus groups?
No.
They paid. They were trying to find out in battleground states how this is playing out. So they ran quid pro quo past people in these states, and it didn't resonate. People didn't understand it.
Oh.
So then they went to bribery and extortion,
oh,
and
yeah.
that resonated. People
we
understood that.
Oh, so that's
so
why
now all of a sudden it's not quid pro quo anymore from the Democrats. It's bribery or extortion.
Okay.
And it's amazing to me how it changed. Absolutely amazing.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are launching into an open phones Monday. Spoke briefly of my good conversation with Congressman Fred Keller. Let me just say, as a one more elaborative element, when he was in Harrisburg, he never participated in anything that could be perceived as partisan. Never had anything disparaging to say about the governor over his years there. But now, of course, does have a lot of observations about the Democrats. I wouldn't say disparaging, but certainly always sort of divided rhetoric.
I think he treated Governor Wolf very fairly. I mean, they got along. You know, he didn't agree with him. But I think that's been one of Fred's hallmarks. He can sit down and talk to you. He can disagree with you. He will listen to your side, and he will tell you his side. And you may not convince him, but he's always willing to listen. And that makes him a rather unique individual, in my opinion.
I wonder how, and he did say he would participate in an interview in the future. But I wonder how he listens to people who disagree with him now.
But that's just it. Look at the call we had from Buzz last week about, well, he's not representing me. Well, you know, okay, that's true. If Buzz's opinion is to the far left, the people of this area elected a conservative Republican congressman. And so he's going to hear your complaints, and I'm sure he'll consider them, but he is probably, in the end, going to go with the majority of his district because the title is what? Representative. If you're representing someone, that means you take the views of the majority to that government and attempt to bring them into fruition.
I get that. I'm holding up my hands.
Surrender.
Yes, I get that. But my question is, how does he listen to individuals who don't agree with him now? That's my question. And he can answer it when he gets here.
I know my son disagrees with him and has, in fact, sent him letters or emails in complaint. And I said, hey, you know, Fred's a friend of mine. He said, my son said, well, he won't be for long if I keep writing.
Oh, dear. I can't imagine. All right. Well, we are enjoying an Open Phones Monday. Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. What is on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I just wanted to raise my frustration with Congress about the fact that while there are people who would like to get control of the outrageous overcharges that the prescription industry is getting away with, Congress isn't getting it done. And to me, the most outstanding sentence in the report today in the Daily Item is the final sentence. Democrats contend they'd be better off taking Pelosi's bill, which would allow Medicare to negotiate the price of drugs that are sold to people on Medicare, into the election campaign rather than giving Trump a bill that he could claim credit for. So they're willing to burn, basically, millions of Americans, forcing them to continue to pay over the roof, over the top, drug charges so that they can use this as a campaign and maybe never get it done.
Wow.
And this is what our politicians have come to. Never mind the millions of people that are harmed by this. Mm-hmm. We'll just hang on to this and use it as a motivational tool to irritate or whatever. They can't even agree to give people a break on drugs. This is obscene. This is the thinking in Washington.
What should we do, Cindy?
Clean the stable.
Yes, I agree, Joe. And I rarely vote for a person who's been in Congress for very long. I rarely do that. Just because I believe that we need to flush out the crap that's covering this stable and get new, even if we end up with new crap, at least it's fresh crap instead of the old crap. It's so ridiculous. Their thinking is absurd. I can't even imagine how you come to this kind of thinking. Let's not pass this bill. Let's let the American people continue to be burned by the drug industry. Let's do that because it'll give us something to argue about. And this theme of let's not take action on it, let's just argue about it, repeats itself throughout history. And yep. Every time I've seen them do this to us, and it's just sinful. Thank you.
Agree with you. Thanks,
Cindy. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Important viewpoint. We got open phones for one more hour after the CBS News. We'll have some local news headlines. You are listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time. It is now 9 a.m. CBS, then local headlines on the Mark.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Great, thanks. Welcome back. WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Our fabulous producer is Rob Center. And Mr. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. Traffic-wise, he says everything's normal. Now, we had some long delays, basically 20-minute delays on southbound Route 147 in Northumberland earlier today. But all that is cleared out. Just normal traffic now in Northumberland. But earlier today, and for southbound, who aren't familiar with Northumberland, they wouldn't know which other road to take to get around that, and that's a difficult thing to do. So they had a long line on Duke Street, but that's all cleared out now in Northumberland. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Following the first day of public impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill, Valley U.S. Congressman Dan Muser continued heavily voicing frustration at the proceedings when he was on WKOK's On the Mark last week.
Yesterday was probably my most frustrating day as a member of Congress. We had the phone call, the transcript. Now they're doing their very best to try to find a nugget that can provide their claim. Somehow or another, the president's intent was to investigate or uncover some corruption related to the Biden. You'll get all those members that are in swing districts that are going to vote to overturn the majority of the voters in their districts. The president, within 4 months, will beat impeachment. Because, again, there will be no evidence, and they need two-thirds vote in the Senate. But the problem is they want to keep the news cycle and muddy up the president as much as possible because clearly they don't believe in their candidate's strength.
And you can hear his remarks at WKOK.com on our podcast page. Discussions toward raising Pennsylvania's minimum wage for the first time since 2009 are heating up again, in part to get Democratic Governor Tom Wolf to abandon an effort to extend overtime pay eligibility to thousands of workers. Leaders in the state Senate Republican majority said Friday that negotiators must compromise for a bill to pass the chamber. Any bill would still have to pass the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Being discussed is an increase from $7.25 in the federal minimum wage to about $9.50 an hour in steps over 18 months or so. Anyway, much more modest than what the president or than the governor had proposed in January. Negotiators are up against a Thursday deadline when a state rulemaking board is voting on Wolf's overtime regulation. The Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry is pushing a minimum wage increase in exchange for Wolf dropping that overtime time regulation. British media Sunday slammed Prince Andrew's efforts to rebut claims that he had sex with a teenager who says she was trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein, branding his televised interview a complete public relations disaster. In a rare interview with BBC Newsnight that was broadcast late Saturday, Andrew categorically denied having sex with the woman, Virginia Roberts Giuffre, but Britain's newspapers and social media commentators criticized him for defending his friendship with Epstein and for failing to show empathy for the convicted sex offender's victims. Quote, "I expected a train wreck," unquote, said Charlie Proctor, editor of the Royal Central website, which covers the British monarchy.
I love this quote.
Quote, "That was a plane crashing into an oil tanker, causing a tsunami, triggering a nuclear explosion level bad," unquote, appearance. Geoffrey has said Epstein forced her to have sex with Andrew in 2001 when she was 17. And she says Epstein flew her around the world on private planes to have sex with powerful men, and that she had sexual encounters with Andrew in London, New York, and in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Was she being held prisoner?
No, but she's underage.
They flew her all over the world.
Doesn't matter if she sat there and said, "Hey, fly me there and make me do this." She's 17.
Well, it said forced him to have. She used the word in the story there, forced her to have sex.
Well, they seem to have some sort of a hold over people. Regardless, he was the go-between to Prince Andrew having sex with a 17-year-old is the allegation, whether somehow you want to argue that she in
consented to it. No, I just wondered about the wording, whether it came from her or whether it came from the writer of the story.
I'm sure it came from her.
But I saw part of the interview, and I agree with the writer's assessment.
Well,
he looks sleazy.
right. Exactly. That's a good word for it. That's exactly what it looked like. Well, plus I think, you know,
I wonder how Bill Clinton would do in a similar interview.
I automatically have compassion and empathy for the victims, but there's no, I mean, he's almost like a sociopath in the interview. And he'll say, well, Epstein's not that bad of a person, and he and I are good friends.
Well, and he stayed in his house after he had been convicted of sex crimes. So, I mean, that says a lot about the good old prince there.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, finally, we have one other note here. Some Kansas college students are turning to workshops offered by their schools to learn basic living skills like how to change a tire or balance a checkbook. Older generations might scoff at young people for not knowing how to complete such simple tasks, but educators say today's college students grew up under intense pressure to pass college entrance exams and achieve high grade point averages, giving them little time to learn what some call Adulting 101. Kansas News Service reports hovering parents and a decline in the traditional home economics classes in high school contributed to the need for life skills workshops. Kansas State University offers a series of workshops that focus on car maintenance, food safety, and conflict resolution. Oh, that's a good idea. Wichita State offered a workshop on budgeting.
Sad that it's necessary, but I agree it is.
Well, and I think people should know how to change a tire. You no longer need to know how to change your own oil anymore. I think we've passed that point. But you should know how to change a tire. You should not be able to get out of high school unless you know how to swim.
Well, I have changed a tire in my time, but on today's cars, I can't even find the spare tire in mine.
Well,
it's under the bottom of the car somehow. I don't know how I'd get it out.
I think for your life, you are generally in regional areas where there's urban areas. So if you don't know how to change a tire, that's not the end of the world.
But right, AAA.
Right, but if you camped out in the middle of nowhere or you drove out west when you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no cell service out there, then you should probably know how to change a tire.
Right, if you know where your tire is.
What about learning to swim? Do you think people should learn to swim?
Well, obviously, that's a life skill. Okay. Balancing a checkbook is a life skill.
What about changing a diaper?
Well, writing cursively to me is a life skill, too, but apparently they aren't going to teach that anymore.
No, that's not a life skill.
Yes, it is.
You can survive for very long periods of time without...
How do you produce a signature if you can't write cursive?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think you just have to produce it out of, block writing, just normal writing. But changing a diaper, do you think that's a life skill?
Yes.
Okay. So
However, it's not a choice I make.
What's another life skill? I like how this one college calls one life skill is conflict resolution.
Right. Food safety, car maintenance, those are all useful things.
Mm.
But it talks about the decline of home economics classes in high school.
Well yeah,
boys never took them. Girls took them, and boys took shop.
Oh, I took home ec.
I took shop.
I took home ec.
Well, I mean, I was in the academic prep classes, but they had shop. You had to take a shop course.
I took home ec.
How did you do that?
Well,
you in there with the girls?
Yeah, that's... Oh, cha-ching.
Oh, you were in touch with your feminine side again.
No. I tried to be in touch with the girls in the class.
And that's why you signed up.
Yep. 1-800.
Okay.
Well, that's where the girls were, so you go where the women were. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone.
You follow that practice today?
Nope.
Okay.
I know where my bride is.
All right.
And she's at home right now, actually, so I'll be going there ASAP. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We are clearly enjoying open phones. Are there any life skills that you think people should have? This school says food safety knowledge, conflict resolution, some car maintenance, budgeting. I've added changing a diaper and changing a tire. And Joe, do you agree changing a tire is a good life skill?
Well, it's a useful one. I don't know that it's essential. I could live my whole life if I belonged to something like AAA or without ever changing a tire.
Yeah, but what if you do not camp out in rural areas and you do
not
drive out west, generally speaking.
No, I drive out to western Snyder County from time to time.
Well, there's dead spots in cell service out there, but you're not that far from other people. You can go to McLaurin or you can go to Richfield.
All the way to Beaver Springs.
you can go to Richfield and get offline with your Verizon. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Are there any life skills that people should have before they get out of high school? Changing a diaper, changing a tire, swimming, knowing how to swim, budgeting, car maintenance, food safety, and conflict resolution are the ones suggested by this good college. Lance, before you get to your expertise topic.
That's Lenora.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leona.
You might want to, Leona, yeah, you might want to read the screen.
Yeah, I'm looking at, see, I have a trifocal for that distance, but I'm not using it. Leona, first of all, before you get to your topic, can you think of any life skills that people should have out of high school?
Yeah, they ought to know how to act.
Oh, behave. Oh, behave.
Behave.
Like listen and behave. Oh, that's an interesting, I had to.
Answered our question, what can we do for you?
Well, I was wondering if any of you were familiar with Newsmax network.
I've heard of it. Yeah, I think I don't think they generate any news. I think they are a clearinghouse for news.
No, they have news on.
Right, but where do they get it?
They're very fair-minded.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
I listen to them a lot, and they have some good talk shows on there. With Bill O'Reilly's on there a lot, so he's one of my biggest. I like him a lot because I used to watch him all the time. But I also wanted to ask you why you label people that call into your show. Like you call a certain person the smartest woman in the world. And you know what? The smartest caller that you have that calls in was just on there a little while ago, Cindy.
I've put her on the list of the smartest women. I didn't use that reference
She is very. I agree with her 99% of the time because she knows what she's talking about and she has the facts to back it up.
Okay. Well,
but I enjoy your show. I really do. But that's what I wanted to know.
Oh, good. Well, okay.
But you should try listening to that sometime. It's on Dish Network. It's channel 216.
Newsmax.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've heard of it. All right. Thank you so much, Leona. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I don't have cable. I wonder if it's on cable.
Newsman, I would say they must be. Yeah, they're
I don't
catching
have satellite.
On. One of our good listeners sends a note and says driving a 4-speed car is a life skill young people should have.
They call that a millennial confusions thing. Yeah. I know.
Oh, okay. Well,
how to confuse a millennial?
But
show them a dial telephone and show them a.
I think 10 years ago, you should have graduated from high school knowing how to drive a 4-speed. But today. Most cars are automatic, and you have to, like, if I wanted a 4-speed truck, like my truck, you have to ask for it.
You do.
Yeah. You can't, it's not normal.
You enjoy sitting and shifting?
I don't do. This truck doesn't have that. I didn't ask for it in this one. But if I did, they do make them. Ford does make them, but you have to ask for it.
Well, I can remember driving a stick shift. The first car I ever bought on my own is, well, you know, when I started working, I saw this little Rambler American 440 convertible I thought was really sharp.
Oh, was that on the column? The shifter was on the column?
No, it had bucket seats. It was one of the earlier cars with bucket seats, and it had the shift in the on the console. But when my dad had to go along co-sign with me because I was 18 years old, and I said to him, "Dad, what's this extra pedal for here in the center?"
Oh, dear.
He said, "You don't know?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You just bought a stick shift car." So I had to learn how to drive it.
Oh.
And believe me, the guy from the company that I bought it from rode along with us home, and I think it was probably the worst ride he ever had in his life. Buck, 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 buck in the car.
That's funny.
Trying to go up a hill and then...
But the shifter was in the center console?
No, it was in the... Yeah, it was in the console.
Not on the steering column?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, so it was easy enough to do. I just had to learn how to do it.
I worked at a place that had a Chevy truck that we drove around that had a four-speed on the steering column. And that was an interesting drive.
Well, you know, once you learn how to do it, I don't think you forget.
It's a good skill.
I think I could still get in a stick shift car and drive.
Oh, yeah, you don't forget how. You just ease out the clutch. I mean, every clutch is different.
Don't pop it.
Same listener that said you should know how to drive a four-speed says you should know how to invest money. And I'll add to that, not to live by borrowing all the time, you know, to do sort of the a debt-free life for yourself.
Nice work if you can get it.
Right. All right, 1-800-795-9565. I got to take a quickie break. Chris, please stand by. You know the rigors of staying on schedule in this business. We'll take a quickie break. We'll be right back.
Bring me the ball, Sparky.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're talking about life skills. We're up to the ability to change a diaper, change a tire, know how to swim, some basic food safety.
Now we're into a lot of esoteric stuff.
Conflict resolution, esoteric stuff. Listen, I'm going to add two of these after in a moment. Knowing how to drive a four-speed, knowing how to invest, and I'm going to add to that living debt-free. Chris, help us out here.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Cool.
I do believe that a lot of those things are good, and it could be all taught in one class if you think about a full year. I think add to the other stuff that you can kind of throw into basic life skills could be like, you know, balancing a checkbook or knowing how to read your ledger, at least, like with everything being on an app these days, at least understanding how all that works. And the other thing would be like basic car maintenance, like, you know, how to check your oil and how to jump a car correctly and things like that. But the two big ones for me is that I believe, like I remember when I was in high school, I took a class called Participation in Government where we had to do 20 hours of community service. Now, that's all well and good, but I think it should be more fine-tuned and specific because people are so awful to people in the restaurant industry and to people in the social services in general, either people who receive social services and to those who give out social services. I think you should have to work in social services for a certain amount of hours, like 10 hours, and you should have to be in the service industry for, I don't know, 10, 20 hours. So you can understand what it's like to be, you know, a cashier, you know, a worker at McDonald's or a waiter or something.
Well, that's a good idea. So you get a sense, like if you're ultra rich, you get a sense of what being a working class dog is like. You know, in the service industry, like me, or social services, what human services go through. Well, and you know,
well, yeah. So you can understand, like, you know, a lot of people don't really understand, like, people with intellectual disabilities or people who are confined to a wheelchair and why and how their life actually works and, you know, all of that. And the actual way the money is received and why it's received and how much they get, you know, and then even going even further so people understand, like, how food stamps work and why people receive food stamps and what they have to go through to get those types of things. You don't know that coming out of high school. You have no idea.
All right.
Okay.
Noted. I'll tell you what. Good points all. Thank you so much, Chris.
You got it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris Elio, our good occasional anchor here. Yeah, the idea of 20 hours of somehow community service, some of it in a social service agency or social service setting, and other community service or service industry, checking the oil, check booking. I'm going to add to this, teaching kids how to listen and behave. Well, that relates to that one woman.
If they've gotten to college and they haven't learned that, Mark, I would submit to you they're never going to learn it.
I don't know. A lot of kids
And it's not a life skill. It's something that really is learned at the elementary school level, where they teach you when the teacher's talking, you don't talk.
Right.
Did you talk while the teacher was talking, Mark?
No.
I bet you did.
I think I did, too. Two skills I'll add to this, being assertive and speaking up, making your voice audible when you're talking to a clerk or an adult or something. Speak up. I say this to all the times to people.
Do you really?
Yeah, because my hearing is shot. Frank, go right ahead. Something funny
and my
there?
Hearing, yeah. Drumming has really damaged my hearing. I was thinking of the song Perfect World by Huey Lewis in the News. we're trying to train people. Of all skills, I'm surprised at how little knowledge for taking care of pets. Your family pet.
Oh, yes. That's
I see kids dragging a dog on a leash, choking it. I see dogs on a blistering 90-degree day, and they're outside on black tarmac, and they're going for a walk. You know, people just...
That's
just
a biggie.
Basic skills that they don't understand about pets. And I think that could be one.
That could be.
And having patience, you can't scream at a dog or beat a cat into submission to do something you want it to do and doesn't understand what's confusing it or scaring the daylights out of it. So, anyway.
Okay.
That last person talking, that was Chris?
Yes, that was our good call.
Oh, okay, I like his stuff. I like his show. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
I like
so
those
that, too. I have that my two cents in.
Well, that's, thank you. I
Thanks.
Know
appreciate your two
in
cents.
Israel, you're supposed to do some community service before you are done.
Well, we used to have the draft here in this country, and people didn't want that anymore.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that.
They have that in Israel,
but what
too.
What if you were required to do a year of community service, social service, or maybe that's where you'd pick up
don't
all
you,
these
you
skills.
Don't remember the debate. When they finally did get rid of the draft, there was some talk about continuing to have community service be, you know, instead of being drafted into the Army, you were drafted for a year of community service.
No, I do not remember that.
President Kennedy created the Peace Corps along those lines.
Okay. Let's see. Another listener says, Mark suggested that we do, you know, how to change a diaper. How about this? Are you referring to baby diapers or adult diapers or both?
Well, we'll find out.
I wasn't referring to either.
I don't think your bride, as you love to describe her, would want to change your diapers as you get older.
Moving on. Cindy, you're on the mark.
Hey, guys. We're supposed to open with hey, right? That's
yes,
hey day.
That's correct. Thank
okay.
you.
I'm consistent, if nothing else. And thank you to that previous caller for her kind words. I wanted to say, when I was on the school board, I proposed a course called Life 101.
Oh.
And I did actually list a bunch of things that I thought that it would be good that the kids learned about. But the way I proposed that it happened was that they would bring in professionals from the community to talk to you about it. For example, about renting an apartment, you know, to bring in somebody to explain what the implications are about renting an apartment, about taking out a contract. What does that actually mean? The federal government has a wonderful website to learn how to deal with credit cards and debt, that they would walk through that, you know, online and learn about managing the debt and the implications of running up a massive credit card bill for things that you don't even have in your hand anymore. So I think that is a good thing to be doing in high school. We actually did move to offering something like that. One of the challenges, though, is that in our state, at least, the Department of Education insists that all courses be taught by teachers that are certified in the field. And, of course, no one is certified in Life 101. Nor, if you take it as a rainbow of options, you know, that you're going to, it's not going to be an in-depth discussion, but they're going to give you the consumer safety issues of renting an apartment or, you know, kind of down that list. No one has that kind of a broad spectrum of skills to run that kind of a course. So that becomes a challenge.
Hmm. The problem also becomes what is a life skill for you may not be a life skill for me. We may have entirely different circumstances. I think it's critical that, you know, balancing a checkbook is something we're all going to do. We may not all rent an apartment at some time in our life.
Right. Joe's
but everybody's going to have a checkbook that they got to deal with. Everybody's going to borrow money.
What are you
going to
live in, Joe, if you don't rent an apartment when you get out of school?
In today's world, I'm going to live at home with Mom and Dad. That's what a lot of young people are doing these days.
I see a great wisdom in the extended family. My daughter has a child, an infant, and she's greatly challenged to be working and caring for her daughter. And you know, every time she vents to me about her frustration, I walked the same road when I was a young woman. I get it. There is an advantage to grandma and grandpa, not necessarily in the house or aunt and uncle, but close enough to be of support. If we're going to expect both parents to work, and obviously the government does, of course, that brings in lots more taxes, then, you know, it has an implication on children, and warehousing them is not my answer.
Okay.
You know, there are lots of negatives to warehousing children. They don't like to discuss this, like the spread of disease and like the social and behavioral. Oh, yeah. How do you think when you congregate people then and someone has a cold, that highly increases the risk that that cold spreads through the group.
Well, if you've seen the average 3-year-old sneeze, it's a miracle.
I don't know that anybody's mentioned it, but I would think if we're compiling such a list, parenting would be essential. Because
well,
look at all the number of people who
have a course in parenting.
Do they? All right. But yeah. I see so many people get frustrated. I mean, this terrible story about this little girl who got beaten for no good reason because parenting skills were lacking.
There is no good reason to treat a child that way.
Ever.
There is no good reason.
No.
Well, and then
if you're really that angry with the child, then walk away. Or put them in their bedroom and you shut the door and get away from them.
Okay.
But what happened to that child was totally inappropriate, unacceptable, should have never happened. And many adults failed her. Many, not just that man who brutalized her.
The human services people who apparently were called about it but didn't, you know.
Many adults failed that child.
Yep.
Many. It breaks my heart what happened to her. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Another listener sends us an email.
Say, cook a meal, do laundry, write a resume, or fill out an application. All good life skills. Cook a meal.
Yeah, one of the college ones.
Today,
is
cooking
food
a meal
safety.
Is simple. I can do that. There's a product called Bertolli's. You just take the dump it in a saucepan, and stir it until it's cooked.
Those aren't necessarily sound nutritionally that you should live on. I understand fast meals are fast, and like 1 minute you're hungry, and then you do a fast meal, and then you're done. But to understand how to properly clean and steam broccoli, that's a good idea, and then you have good fresh vegetables.
Well, the number of times in my life I've wanted to steam broccoli, you could count on one finger of one hand.
You don't do any cooking at all whatsoever?
Oh, I do. I grill. I like
okay.
to grill.
Well, that's a life skill. You got to know how to cook stuff all the way through. Do you give people food that's half raw?
Well, it depends on who a person is.
No,
I might give you half raw food.
If I come over.
Actually, I have an instant read thermometer that I use to stick in the food to tell me the temperature.
And if you're a millionaire like you, you do not need half of these skills, so you do not need to know.
I have someone do my grilling for
me. You have someone to change
griller.
Your diaper. You have someone
His assistant
to
quit last week, so we're looking for an assistant griller at our house now.
You can have someone swim for you or drive your 4-speed car for you. So that, you know, wealth levels the playing field, but it doesn't eliminate the need for all these jobs. I like Chris's idea of the community service. What is the, is it Israel that requires a year of service to the country?
Military service.
But usually, it isn't necessary, if you don't want military.
It's one or the other. I think it's one or the other. It is.
Okay, you pick.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take more comers on this topic. We started out talking about impeachment. But
there is one thing I'd like to add before we,
sure.
if we're going to get on to this. You didn't read the one story I thought you might read from today's news summary that you sent me.
Okay.
A Denver radio host says he was fired from a conservative station after criticizing President Donald Trump. The Denver Post reported that Craig Silverman says he was fired in the middle of his show on news and talk radio station 710 KNUS on Saturday. Silverman says he was interrupted during a segment about former Trump personal attorney Roy Cohn and that critical remarks about the president. He said the broadcast was interrupted by a network news report before the station's program director entered the studio and said, "You're done." The former Denver chief deputy district attorney hosted the Craig Silverman Show for more than 5 years. The webpage for Silverman's show has been removed from the station's website. KNUS representatives did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Now, I don't like stifling free speech when the left does it. I don't like it when the right does it either.
Well,
if the guy had something negative to say about the president, well, that's...
Well, nothing would guarantee more calls on a conservative station. Like, if you went on WMLP and said the president's terrible, the phones would light up immediately. Isn't that the goal for talk radio?
Well, is it a talk? Yeah, I guess it is a talk show. It says he was a radio host. Doesn't say it was a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
It says his show. It could have been an opinion program or
he's just
talking
doing,
head type program.
Like Rush Limbaugh, where you're just doing a diatribe for the appointed time.
But I can't imagine walking in the middle of the program, you know.
Yeah, that's bad.
I have fired people in my career for things they said on the air, but I never walked into the studio and did it
while they were on
the air.
All right, we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Impeachment, life skills, or should you get fired from a conservative radio station if you criticize the president? Of course, Donald Trump is worthy of much criticism and worthy of much praise, so you could see you could fill up hours and hours of radio shows just based on those two opinions. 1-800-795-9565. Are there any key life skills that you should have that maybe some people don't? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
Oh, hello.
We do have promos that have Joe's voice on them, particularly the one where...
Somebody insulted me?
No, they complimented you. They say, you're great. And he said, I'm nothing.
Oh, okay. I haven't
Mark's
heard that
nothing,
one.
But you're great, Joe. So yeah, you've been... all right, so we have a good list of life skills. We'll take any last-minute comers
well,
on this
We have
list.
One here. It says, hey, one of the life skills everyone should have is the ability to do your own tax returns.
Well, I just think a comprehensive money course is coming to pass here. You know, because so far people have mentioned to do your own taxes, know how to invest, know how to live debt-free, let's see, to know how to rent or do a contract or to do credit cards and debt. What does it?
But so many of these things can be accomplished
resume,
by the use
right?
of a computer. And this is my problem. If we depend on computers to do all the stuff we would normally learn to do without them, who will have programmed computers in the future to do the things, the tasks that we no longer do? Because we've forgotten. For example, I keep a manual checkbook, but I also use a program that double checks me on that checkbook.
Like a QuickBooks kind of thing?
It is. It's like QuickBooks.
Okay.
It's another program. But, I mean, it enables me to do a double check and to keep all my records online in addition to the checkbook.
Yeah, but you probably have obsessive control over every penny, right?
Well, not obsessive control, but I do understand.
You, do.
You know, but I mean, you can use spreadsheets. I use a combination of spreadsheets, databases, and other programs. And not everybody's going to be able to do that unless they have an understanding of computers. But still, it's like cursive writing and math, doing math in your head. How many times have you gone to a store and maybe your bill is $20 and 9 cents.
Okay.
And you hand somebody $20 and a quarter, mm-hmm. and they stand there staring at you because they don't know what change to make.
Yeah.
Unless the cash register tells them. Now they enter $20 and 25 cents, and the bill's $20 and 9 cents, and it tells them to give me 18 cents or whatever change.
What is the change?
14 cents.
Okay. I like how in a split second thought you had to think about it, though.
Well, you do have to think about stuff like that. But,
right.
You know, I think that probably general knowledge, I can remember when I went to high school, we had three academic courses. There was the academic college prep for science, college prep for language, and general prep.
Mm-hmm.
And general prep for life, right. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was a great idea, and I don't think they do that anymore. Then they had shop, you know, and home ec for girls, and then they had business if you chose to go that route. So there were like five different tracks you could take coming out of high school or going through high school. Each one had different graduation requirements, and each one prepared you in a different way for life.
Two pieces of input from our audience, one via email right in the center.
Yeah, show. One of them says, hey, get a job and keep it. That's a life skill. And then the other one from Doug in Lewistown says, most life skills used to be squirreled through a thing called being a parent. But sadly, in today's world, we would rather have the government, such as school systems, daycares, etc., take care of raising children. Then we wonder why they aren't acquiring basic life skills. Go figure.
Oh, that's an interesting, the daycare generation, do they lose out? On the other hand, I think parents make the most out of the quality time that they do have with kids these days, and I think that's when they pick up some of these skills.
I love my grandsons dearly, my 11-year-old. If I said to him, Logan, come sit down here, Papa's going to show you how to balance a checkbook.
Well, you were going to bore the kid
to death.
He said,
no thanks, I want to play my video game.
It'd be a sleep inducer.
It would be. Very much so.
Well, that was an interesting aside, folks. Now back to the impeachment.
Want to talk about Al Sharpton?
Yes, please.
I found this fascinating. The headline is, Al Sharpton gets $1 million in pay from his own charity, tax filing show. He's the million-dollar minister. The Reverend Al Sharpton raked in $1,046,948 from his own charity last year, according to the National Action Network's latest tax filings obtained by the New York Post. Sharpton got a $324,000 salary, 32% higher than his 2017 pay, in addition to a $159,596 bonus and $563,352 in other compensation. The Harlem-based nonprofit, which Sharpton controls as president and CEO, said the extra cash was to make up for the years from 2004 to 2017 when he didn't get his full pay. NEN said it hired an executive compensation firm to determine the good reverend was owed $1.252 million, but he generously was willing to take $500,000 less. Sharpton and the nonprofit board also agreed he has now been fully compensated for all the years he was underpaid and received no bonus. The sharp-dressing, silver-tongued preacher defended the windfall before taking the stage for his weekly rally at NAN's House of Justice in Harlem, an event where attendees throw cash into the collection bucket at the reverend's behest.
Mm-hmm.
So should a guy running his own charity make over $1 million in pay?
He's very powerful, and power corrupts. So he's absolutely powerful and absolutely corrupted.
Well,
there's the proof.
No, but I just think it's interesting, you know, if you're running a charity, how much of this money goes to the purpose for which it was intended, the people who need it?
A little.
I mean, if I form a charity and then I take out a huge salary, it seems to me I'm practicing charity begins at home.
Yeah, that's very common. You know, people who run national charities now get hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars to run them.
And Steve caught me. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Back to school. 9 cents from 25 cents is 16 cents, not 14.
Well, you're off the job.
Well, and you didn't catch it either.
Well,
you accepted my word.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
I could have shortchanged you, and you would never know it.
I know how to do mathematics, and I would have come up with the wrong answer. But some kids don't even know how to do simple subtraction. Yeah, don't turn to me. There's a reason I'm not allowed to use the checkbook anymore in my house. It's called, and so, subsequently... I'm off that list.
You're a deficit spender.
But see, that's a deficit in my life. I'm not really super good at math, and so my lovely bride enjoys that, and she's got attention to detail like crazy. You know, if there's a penny off or something, then that's a point of re-clarification and checking everything until she finds it.
Well, that's, you know, it's like the thing I like about today with electronic banking. I can go to my bank. I don't need to get a monthly statement from them. I can reconcile my checkbook on a daily basis.
Okay.
Well, just go back and check and make sure everything. And I'm one of those people that I would occasionally forget to put something in the checkbook.
You mean like you get a check, but you'd never deposit it?
No, like I'd spent something using my bank card and then forget to record it.
There is my life right there. That's what I do. My lovely bride gave me a debit card to use, and I do. And I will pay for something with that. And she'll say, the bank shows that, Mark, you spent $13.72 on something. And she'll say, what was it? I'm like, I don't know.
And where is it? Why isn't it in the checkbook?
Yeah, why didn't you give me the receipt? You're supposed to turn in your receipts. And I'll be like, I can't remember. $13. Maybe I bought lunch somewhere. Well, what about the sandwich I sent you to work with?
Does she check online banking? Because if you do,
yes. You
know, I just look at that and it tells me, oh, gee, you forgot to record this or you forgot to record that.
But does
it
say where the money was spent?
Well, it'll tell you where it
was
from.
Like if I spend it.
My bank does. I mean, it will tell me, for example, if I ate a meal at, let's say, Haas's in Shamokin Dam and I used my credit card, it would say Haas's, $22.32.
Maybe that's why I'm in less trouble lately, because it says that. But I don't always turn in my slips, and that's a vexing issue at our house.
Well, I mean, it's helped me get control of myself, because I occasionally, when I finally would get around to balancing my checkbook, I could sometimes be way off. One of the other things I used to do occasionally was, instead of making a check, if I write a check out, the amount would wind up as a deposit instead of a check.
Oh. Okay.
Did that more than once early in my life.
Well, finally, on this topic, the thing that I do that most irritates my lovely bride is I'll go to the grocery store, and instead of handing them my debit card, I give my credit card. So, you know, so you give her the Discover card. Next thing you know, she's like doing the checking. She says, Mark, you went to the store, which you're not allowed to go there anyway, but there is no withdrawal here. And I said, well, maybe I put it on the credit card.
Oh, my God.
Well, she has a zero balance on them anyway. It doesn't really matter. All right.
Yeah, but I know people who do that. Every month they put all their charges on the credit card and they get one huge bill. I wouldn't like that. I think you lose control doing that, to be honest with you.
That's easy to do. Right. Yeah, she's forever saying that this balance is higher than she thinks it should be.
Yes. I agree with her.
All right. We talked about Al Sharpton enjoying $1 million in compensation for a job not all that well done.
And one of our texters says the Reverend Sharpton has been corrupt for decades. Remember Tawana Brawley.
There you go. Stan will never forget that. He's still irritated. We talked about life skills. Stan hasn't suggested a life skill that I think is important.
And I'm sure he's a shooting.
To know how to shoot a gun.
Safely. I'm sure Stan would add safely.
Right. We also talked about impeachment earlier on the show. So if you'd like to add to our list of life skills, call 1-800-795-9565. If you have some words about the impeachment, you can email them to onthemarket@wkok.com. And if you want to put your 2 cents on Al Sharpton, you can text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hey, welcome back to On the Mark.
Well said.
And we have Bill from Bloomsburg. Wants to talk about Colin Kaepernick. What do you think about him, Bill?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, real quick, he won a lawsuit, and he did the Betsy Ross thing with Nike. You know, he complained about that. They pulled their shoes. Then he did the switcheroo at his training, trying to get back in the NFL. And basically, he's a far extreme leftist and too happy, right? So they had a post on Facebook that he was moving his location, right? So I went and made a comment on Facebook, which was over 5,000 comments, and it was increasing, right? And I made a statement, so I waited like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So I went back just to see if anybody had a response or what they were saying about this guy, right? Now, Facebook is run, the censorship is run by former Democratic DNC employees, right? So what they did was, this is how the censorship, they had 27 comments. They deleted everybody else's comments, and they made a statement, and it said, due to the volume of, this is the narrative, more or less. This is they only posted 27 responses in regards to Colin Kaepernick, and that was it. That was it. You couldn't say nothing about the guy. You couldn't say nothing about the scenario, how things went down. But the censorship and Facebook blocked everything. Hmm. Blocked everything. You couldn't. They were. That's where the direction this country's going in.
So
this is unbelievable.
You say the 27 comments they allowed were all favorable and supporting him?
Correct.
And they took your comment down, too?
Yeah, and they take down things we wouldn't expect.
Here's what my comment said. You know, because, you know, he sued the NFL. He cries about Nike because they made a Betsy Ross flag sneaker. And all he did was, because he moved the location, he ain't getting his way. I said, listen, he's sue happy. If his receiver runs the wrong route, he's going to sue him. If the water boy don't come in with the water during the timeout, he's going to sue him. He's going to sue the chain guy because he didn't get the first down. He's going to sue this and sue that. And that's all I said. Not real, like, harmless or, like, just that the guy is in a position where he's off the wall and he's just suing everybody. And he's going to put another lawsuit in on this fiasco that he did. And they took it down among thousands and thousands. They censorshiped what was being said in regards to this guy. It didn't matter if it was good or bad or in general. It was you were going to read what they wanted you to read.
Well, and Facebook does that all the time. We have listeners who say, you know, I've been commenting on a lot of stories, and suddenly I got banned from our page, and we'll look at it, and because they said something disparaging about somebody. They said, you know, Joe McGranahan is a blank, like is, I'm not going to say what, like
what
the R word, the R word or something, you know, and they'll ban that, or people that say certain things that they know are untrue, they'll ban them from the page. So we get people that are saying, hey, you know, I was on the WKOK page, and next thing I know, I want to be reinstated. I'm like, I don't delete anything. I don't even have such power. All right,
well,
Bill, thank you so much for calling in.
Bill, who do you think reads all this stuff? I mean, it seems
they have people. Yeah, they hire people now.
Well, if you go and see the censorship leadership and who runs it, proven that they are former DNC employees, whether they worked for Hillary, whether they worked for Obama's administration, or somewhere in the DNC. That's YouTube, Facebook, this is the people that are running these scenarios, because the narrative is that they're going to do anything, get the country away to get back in the United States and run this country, and then they're tied in. You see that they're tied in with the media, and it's just an extension of what they're doing on CNN, MSNBC, and this is why you gotta fight for a gentleman that represents the Constitution.
Okay.
You gotta go with Trump. You have no choice but, and he's doing what he wants to do for the American people, and he's in the Constitution, and keep everything fair, like the health care, like the hospitals should post the pricing on all procedures and all visits in advance. You should be able to shop it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we got you.
Good point.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
We got another life skill. What's this,
Rice,
Joe?
He says, in this area, driving in snow and ice, so many accidents in the first storms. Good point.
Well, I'll talk very briefly about driving, but everybody should be required to drive with a professional driver sometime, and drive with a trucker sometimes, so that you can see what it's like to be a commercial driver, because it's totally different, like a big tractor trailer.
Yeah, I know. You got to learn the language, like 10-4, good buddy.
That's part of it. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back to open phones tomorrow. We'll stick with impeachment, gun control, abortion, and other controversial topics. This is WKOK Sunbury.